Blog Talk Radio.
Be.
Okay. anoint all that time.
You did.
I am so sorry. I had the mute button on. Oh, my goodness. I apologize. I truly apologize. My co-host had hung up because she couldn't hear me, but oh, my goodness. I guess I have to go back to the beginning. Please forgive me, everybody. Okay, let's start this off again. I was on the internet, and I was, you know, reading the news that's on the internet, and I came across a story about a man who had faked his death. And the reason he faked his death was because he wanted to get the insurance money. Him and his son had told his wife that he was going to swim. And when he went to swim, the son came back and, you know, said that the father had went out and didn't surface and all this and that. So she called the police. The police came and they declared him missing. So he was keeping in touch with the stepson and telling him, you know, what to do as far as, like, these papers and this and that to get everything together so he can collect the insurance money. But somehow he got caught. And people will do anything for money. And it's a shame that you have to put other people in predicaments for your own selfish greed. You know, and it just behooves me that how people can love money. The root of all evil is the love of money. It's not the fact of people having a lot of money, people working for their money, people getting paid for what they do and things like that. That's not the issue. The issue is when you love money. That's the root of all evil. You do anything and everything to get your hands on it, that becomes dangerous. So I think they filed charges against him, and that was that. Another story I read on the internet was about a man who had put an ad on Craigslist for his wife, saying that her fantasy was to be raped. Yes, he did. So the first man who came to the house, when she opened the door, he rushed in, and he was chasing all around the house. He's thinking that that's what she wanted. He's chasing her all over the house, and she don't know what's going on. So she ran into the bedroom, and she got her gun. But they wrestled for the gun, and somehow or another, she scared him off, so he left. The second guy came, and he said, "I'm here for you." So she's saying, "What in the world is going on?" She pulled the gun on him and held him till the police came and found out that her husband had put an ad on Craigslist for her to be raped. That's just low. You know, anytime a man does something like, and to his wife, he's low. And another story, I think it was in Wyoming, a guy had put an ad on Craigslist for his ex-girlfriend saying that it was her fantasy to be raped. Lo and behold, she did get raped. The guy went there and raped her, but they found out that her husband was in on it. So her husband and the rapist are serving 60 years. Good. That is really good. They should give him 60 years plus life because that's low. Why would someone put an ad on Craigslist or any other list or anything saying that somebody's fantasy is to be raped? Nobody wants to be raped. You know, that's not a good fantasy. And if somebody has a fantasy like that, I think that's a little too far-fetched. But I'm quite sure that somebody out there may be have a fantasy to be raped. But that's one fantasy I don't ever want to go through because it was a reality for me. And I can't... I wouldn't even wish that on my worst enemy. So, and tonight's topic, the first topic is about the I'm quite sure you guys saw the video of the little 9-year-old boy who was in the daycare terrorizing it, beating up babies, little innocent babies who can't talk, just cry out when they're hurting or somebody's doing something to them. This little boy was making sure that the workers or whoever these people who's supposed to have been in charge was not watching him. But it was obvious that he didn't know a camera was. But every time they would turn their back or whatever, one little girl, he kicked her in the back on the floor. And I know when this child went down, she was screaming and hollering. He picked her up and kicked her again. Then one of the babies, he actually was choking her. He bit her. He punched her in the face. I mean, he was doing things to these kids as if he was, you know, doing something to his peers. And I guess after everything was all over, one of the young ladies was being interviewed, and she said, well, he fights children, but he don't fight babies. No, he don't fight babies. He beats babies up. That's what he do, because I know that those workers heard those babies screaming. Instead of the woman going to see what was going on with these babies, they was just like in La La Land. They was just walking all over the place, and I saw one caregiver. I think I just saw one caregiver, and she was standing there for a minute. Then she goes off to another direction, in a whole completely different direction, and this little boy is terrorizing those babies. You know, and I'm sorry to say this, but if I take my child to a daycare and everything's going good, this is how you can tell when something is wrong with your child. And the next week I take my child back to the daycare, and they get to screaming and hollering and begging and pleading. You know, just their attitude and everything changes. I'm going to, you know, try to find out what's going on, opposed to just taking them up in there and leaving them, because you don't know what's going on with that child. Not only that little 9-year-old boy might not be the only terror up in there, because I've worked in a daycare before, and I've seen some of the caregivers abusing children. But it just so happened that this little boy was caught on camera. I wish it was a camera in that daycare that I worked in. I really do. Because one of the daycare workers, it turned my stomach to things that was going on. I didn't last in there for about maybe a couple of weeks. And then when I left, I called back up there and was telling them to, you know, because they never took the children outside, number one. And I was telling them to take the children outside. The children need to go outside. Do you know that those people sent the police to my house and told me that I had made a bomb threat to the daycare center? I said, what? A bomb threat? Whatever. But I've seen the horrors, the things that goes on in daycare centers. And some of these children, they may go through trauma. They may have been abused themselves, or too much television or medication. But that still does not give the right for this child to keep doing that. And it's obvious. It's probably not even the first time he's done that, because I think his aunt or somebody ran the daycare center, so that meant he's a regular up in there. But this one little girl's father came up to the daycare because he said the daughter was coming home a whole week now. I don't think I could have waited a whole week. And she was coming home with bruises and bite marks and all sorts kind of stuff. So he goes up there and asks them what was going on. And they're going to tell him they don't know. Why don't you know? My child is in your care the best of 8 hours every day that I go to work. And you mean to tell me my child has bruises on him, bite marks on him, and you can't tell me nothing? What was you doing? You know, people need to do a complete search on some of these daycare centers. Some of them are overcrowded, because the one I worked in, it was overcrowded. Then some of them are not licensed. Some of them, the workers are not qualified caregivers. Some of them are rapists, crackheads, or whatever. And any time that you put your child in a daycare center, you should be able to go up in that daycare center anytime you feel like it, surprising them, giving surprise visits. You need to keep in contact with the daycare provider that's providing care for your child. And anytime your child's attitude change, you need to address it. Don't keep sending your child up there, because it's a reason why little Bobby is coming home now. All of a sudden, he's wetting on himself. All of a sudden, he don't want to eat his food. All of a sudden, he's crying out in the night. You need to address those issues, because that same little 9-year-old boy that was abusing those babies, it may have been a problem when he was coming up. I don't know. But I'm telling you, when that guy went up in there, he was angry. He was past angry. He was just like a raging bull, because he was sick and tired of seeing his daughter come home with bruises, bite marks, and all this other kind of things that was on her, and then he's going to inquire about it, and they're going to tell him they don't know. You don't want to hear that. You do not want to, especially when you're paying money, even if the state was paying the money. They're getting paid to provide a service for your child, and it's supposed to be a safe and learning environment for your child in a daycare center. And all those caregivers in that daycare center, I would have each one of them terminate, and I would close that center down. Because if that little boy continuously comes up there, just think if he had to choke that baby so bad until that baby actually died. Then what was they going to say to the parent when they come up there and come to the daycare center and find out their baby's dead? What was they going to say happened? How was they going to explain it? Was they going to tell the truth? The little boy choked her to death? Or was he going to cover it up or just say, we don't know? But I'm telling you, if you have a child that's in a daycare setting, make sure you check on them. Make surprise visits. Keep in contact with the daycare provider. Make sure the place is licensed. Make sure the workers don't look like they just got out of bed, number one, just got out of bed and just came to work. You know, you have to do research on some of these daycare centers. Because like I said, I worked in one. And like I said, those children were abused. And I couldn't take it. You know, you just can't stand around and watch somebody abuse somebody else's child. You know, you come in, you're leaving your child in a daycare, and you come back, your daughter's all beat up, got black eyes, or you come back and your child is dead. That's a hurtful situation. I can't even imagine what I would have done if that was my child coming home with bite marks, scratches, and, you know, and I'm quite sure those babies were afraid of going back up in there. Just because they can't talk, they still have feelings and they do express them. That's why babies cry when they want to be changed or when they want something to eat, because they can't talk. And if they are fearful of something, they're going to cry about that. So my thing is, if you have your child in a daycare center, please, please investigate the center. Don't just put your child in a daycare center because it's so cute. Don't put your child in a daycare center because this is convenient for you. You can walk to it because it may be the worst one you can walk to. You might have to go that extra 2 or 3 miles to get your child to the right daycare center. You have to think about your child. And if you can't find the right daycare for your child, then don't go to work. It might be hard, but it'll be worth it because your child will be safe and you don't have to worry about somebody giving you that phone call to come off your job because your daughter stopped breathing, or to come off your job because your daughter's brain is swelled. You know, those are some horrible calls to get when you're on your job. You know, so if you need to send your child to a daycare, I can't say this enough. Do some research. Stay up in there and go do some surprise drop-ins. Always keep contact. Let them know that if something happens to your child, they are going to be held responsible for it. because that daycare there, it looked kind of ghetto. And it may not have been, but I know daycares, and that just looked, it didn't look too inviting. It didn't look like a place where I would take my child. Not because that nine-year-old boy was a thing, but just looking at it, it doesn't have that child environment. You know, so I'm just, it's, you know, it was a sad thing. With that being said, we're going to take a break, and I'll be back with our second topic, cop killers.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. That's Al Green and Josh Stone. How do you mend a broken heart? That is simply beautiful. Okay, we're on the second half hour of the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. The call-in number again is 646-652-2877. And the second topic we're going to get on is killer cops. Now, there's been a lot of cops killing African Americans. I'm only going to speak of African Americans because those are the ones that have been so prevalent. I know they're killing others as well, but it just seems like the African Americans are their target. And they always call it justifiable homicide. How come when a policeman kills somebody, it's always justifiable homicide? They get put on administrative leave with pay. They do their little investigation. They come back to work, kill somebody else. The same thing goes on. But some of them, they actually find that it was not justifiable homicide. I guess when they did a thorough search of the evidence and things like that, but some of these killings that these policemen have done, Stevie Wonder can see the injustice. Because I was on the internet, forever on the internet, but anyway, I was on the internet and I ran across a story about a young man, Chavis Carter. I'm going to read the incident that I have found on the internet. Chavis Carter found shot in the head while in patrol car investigation launched. A 21-year-old was shot in the head and killed while handcuffed in the back of a patrol car Saturday night. Now police have launched an investigation to determine what happened. Chavis Carter was a passenger in a pickup truck that was stopped by police in Jonesboro, Arkansas, Saturday night, according to the CAT and ABC-affiliated television station. An officer reportedly found some marijuana and ran Carter's information. He was wanted on a warrant out of Mississippi, so officers placed him in a patrol car. As protocol, he was handcuffed behind his back, double locked, and searched, said Johannesburg Police Department Sergeant Lynn Waterworth in an interview with WREG-TV. Just minutes later, police said they heard a thumping noise, turned around, and found Carter shot in the head. Waterworth said he thinks Carter pulled out a hidden gun and shot himself. Any given officer has missed something on a search, you know, be it drugs, be it knives, be it razor blades, he said. This incident, it happened to be a gun. His mother, Teresa Carter, disagrees. I think they killed him, she said. My son wasn't suicidal. Carter says she was also told her son was shot in the right temple, although he was left-handed. I mean, I just want to know what really happened, she told WREG-TV. That's all I want to know. The two officers who were present when Carter was found shot was placed on administrative leave. Now, we're going to pick this apart. Good evening, Rhea.
Hi.
Darling, I am so sorry. I had the mute button on. And I was
I do it all the time.
I was talking my butt off, and I said, hey, Rhea. And I didn't hear anything. So I said, well, maybe she has the mute button on. I kept on talking. I looked down, and the mute button was on me.
Because I was like, what, like 10 after. Then I said, okay, well, maybe something happened. And so
I was just
okay.
Saying, Rhea, and I said, well, maybe. But it was me that time. I apologize, darling. I am so sorry. But,
I do that all the time. And
right.
And
so how you doing talking? This evening?
I'm doing well. Got in late because, well, today is my daughter's 25th birthday. And so we went out to dinner.
Uh-huh.
And things such as that. And brought all her gifts home because her job, they really celebrated her today. You know, she had two cakes at two different times by two different groups. She had some red velvet cupcakes.
Wow.
And another time by another group. And then I took her to dinner, and they brought her a surprise tiramisu out. And she was like, Lord, all this sugar? I have eight more cakes today than I ate. I'm like, but.
But tell her Aunt Gail said happy birthday.
I will.
Yes. Now, did you, I don't think, you didn't hear the first topic we talked about, the little boy in the daycare center, did you?
No, I didn't hear that one. I just heard the one about the 21-year-old that supposedly shot himself in the head. Yeah, right.
You know what? I just can't, because I've been handcuffed a few times in my life, not always by the police, but I'm just saying, I have been handcuffed by the police. The police handcuffed me. They put my hands behind my back. And I've done this. I tried this at home. I said, now, okay, my hands behind my back. Where's this gun at that he pulled from wherever?
That when they searched him, they
searched
didn't
him
find.
Three times. They searched
they
him
find.
Three times.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then they're going to put in there, you know, well, sometimes they don't find stuff. I'm going to tell you something. When they search a black person, they search
believe
them.
You me.
They move their, excuse the expression, they move their penis and their balls out the way.
Yep.
Under their arms. I mean, they search them.
Yeah.
They search
just
me.
Like
they
recently, put, the guy who got stopped in the airport because they said he had something stuck down his pants.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his size 11-inch soft penis. And they couldn't believe that. And so they actually said this man had something stuck. I'm like, are you serious? And he said, well, it's happened to me before.
But I'm just saying, now, if
like,
he
wow,
did have
really?
A gun, now, she said, his mother said that he was left-handed. Why was he shot? How in the world could he possibly, wherever he got this gun from? Now, just, let's just play the devil's advocate here. Okay, my hand's behind me, and I got a gun. First of all, how did I get my arms all the way up to my right temple, and I'm left-handed, to shoot myself? How are you turning this gun, maneuvering this gun? You know, I mean,
all the way around the other side of your head. Why are you
right?
Up?
And where was the police at? They talking about they heard a thud, and when they looked in the car, they discovered him. They was in the car and they shot him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what other excuse? And I really would like to be a fly on the wall to hear how it went down for real.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to tell me that this boy killed himself all on account of a warrant.
Yep.
You know, and it's just too, why would they even put a story out here like this? You know, this is really, this is like playing on somebody's intelligence. For somebody to pick this up and say, oh, really, he did? No, he didn't. No, he did not. And if somebody, whoever believes this story, call me up and let me know, please, because Stevie Wonder can see the BS in this story. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
And it behooves me how they put them on leave or whatever. They don't place on administrative leave. So if they're on administrative leave, that means they're still getting paid, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So this is, let me get this straight. The police can kill somebody, be put on leave, still get paid, and then when everything goes down, it's justifiable homicide. They always getting off with it. You know, the majority of the times when they kill somebody, always getting off with, like, the guy they killed in, I think, was in New York, the guy was coming from his bachelor party. Oh, Rhea, she must have got disconnected. But that incident there, they shot that boy over 50 times or something like that. But, and that was justified. And then they had an incident here where a guy had, they was in a high-speed chase, and he ran over policemen. I think he killed the policeman or something like that. But when they found that boy, they had beat that boy up so bad until he was unrecognizable. His head looked like it was two times bigger than what it was. He had bruises. I mean, he was beat up. Footprints all on his chest and all sorts of kind of stuff. And they were saying that he got all them bruises, beat up like that, from resisting arrest. Come on. It was about, I don't know how many policemen out there. First of all, even if he did resist arrest, they could have overpowered him. They could have stun gunned him taser. They could have tasered him or whatever. They beat the crap out of him. Then they locked him up and they killed him. You know what they said? That he killed himself.
Uh-huh.
They killed that boy because he killed a police officer. See, when you kill a police officer, they are going to make sure that they get you. If they don't sleep, eat, do nothing, they're going to get you if you kill a police officer. So they beat him almost to death at that particular time because he was, when they showed the picture after all that swelling went down, the bruises and stuff went down, you wouldn't even have known that that was him. Then the next thing you hear, he done hung himself. If he was suicidal, they put you in a cell, and they don't give you anything that you can, like sheets and all that kind of stuff, and they claimed he was on suicide watch, and they claimed that they was watching every 10 or 15 minutes or whatever. No, y'all went in there and killed him. And then, you know, so they just got rid of someone who killed one of theirs.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's a shame how, and I'm not saying that all policemen are bad, because there are some good ones out there. But for me, I don't like the police, especially the crooked ones and the ones that throw their weight around. And because the police pulled a gun on me when they had my daughter out front, two male officers had her down on the ground with their knees in her back. And I go out there and I said, why are y'all doing that's a female? He turned around and pointed that gun at me and told me to get back. Like, what was he afraid of me?
Uh-huh.
I said, no, he ain't pulling a gun on me. Get back. But you know, they just they some of them are too take their authority and abuse it.
Uh-huh.
And think just because they are the police and they have a gun, they have a right to use it. But you don't always have that right. And I remember back in the day when they would shoot somebody, they would chase somebody, they would shoot somebody, they would shoot them in the leg to disable them or something like that.
Exactly.
But now they're going straight for the kill.
Yep, they were told to shoot. You couldn't
kill.
They were taught to shoot to stop.
Right. But now it's so different. They just are killing, abusing that power. Just killing for no reason.
Well, in some places, it's not just the police. And I put an article on my page yesterday about this man in Arkansas that was calling the little African-American kids in his whatever you call, you know, the living area they live in, name and picking, you know, saying things to them. So this young African-American male went to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
He knocked on the man's door. The man opened his door and shot him in the head. And now the man don't understand what all the uproar is because it was only a nigga.
Yeah, and he said that, too. Yeah, he said he had killed, it was only a nigger.
Yep.
Well, you know what? If someone was to retaliate or be vindictive and kill somebody in his family, and they could say, well, it was only a white person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but see, if they did that, they'd be going to jail really quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Premeditation and everything else.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then just like the Zimmerman case. Now, he's not a police or anything like that, but he had a gun.
Yep.
Everybody cannot have guns.
Yep.
And there should be laws where people won't get guns. Why are you going to give somebody crazy, because he was definitely crazy, a gun? Just like the guy in Aurora. He just went and bought guns. Everything that he wanted. Did he get that stuff off the internet? But that's another thing. You go on the internet and you can get anything.
But
you
these are automatic. These are multiple firing things. Why? Even if you wanted a weapon for self-protection, why would you need a weapon like that?
MK-47.
Exactly.
And a missile.
It behooves me.
Yeah.
It behooves me. I did not, like, really? But, you know, the guy shot the guy yesterday, I mean, the other day, that was in Florida.
Florida is a messed up state. What the hell is going on in Florida?
That was in Florida. I got the article right here. It says, of Florida man expressed indignation after being arrested July 30th for supposedly shooting a black man in the head, explaining to the police that he had only shot a nigger, police said.
Mm.
Yep.
Boy,
he was 59,
you know,
and the guy that knocked on his door was 32.
Mm. He just shot him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wonder how they're handling that case.
Yep.
You know.
He's
out again,
supposedly,
isn't he?
They charged him with attempted murder with a hate crime enhancement because the guy is still in the hospital. The guy didn't die. He's in a hospital in critical condition. And
right.
Based on what happened, yes. Yes.
These policemen are it's pitiful.
But check this out. The guy's name was Walter Henry Butler that did the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he shot 32-year-old Everett Gant in the head, who was visiting his Port St. Joe apartment to confront him about making racist comment to the children in the apartment complex, according to the Broward Palm Beach New Times. The blog reports that Butler proceeded to eat dinner as Gant lay bleeding outside his door and cites an affidavit that Butler used a racial slur when questioned by the sheriff.
So he left the man laying on it. Oh, my goodness.
Not only did he shoot this man in the head, he left him laying there and went back and finished eating his dinner.
That was pure evil.
I'm like, wow, really?
That was pure evil.
Really? It's
at its worst. Because anytime you can do something like that to somebody, not knowing whether you killed them or whatever, and you're going to go sit down and eat, that's pure evil. Anytime somebody kills somebody, how can you go home and sleep? How can you just continue with your life so happily or you know, just continue doing what you're doing and not even thinking about that person that you killed?
It says that the guy is in stable condition and expected to survive. I mean, that is so cold. It's like, and I truly do believe, and unfortunately nobody can convince me otherwise, that a lot of this is also the uprising of the way people are treating the president of the United States. It's like,
yeah,
since he's been in office, there's no decorum anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no discretion. You know, they say whatever they want, they act whatever they
yeah.
want, and it's like, and you're going to see more instances of this stuff on the rise, because those people that had formerly held themselves in check, they don't feel as though they have to anymore.
Mm-mm.
Ain't nothing going to happen to them. And Florida, baby, please, you, every time you turn around, there's something in Florida, just like the woman who they sent to jail. The same
but
thing that they're using
the
to keep women out of jail, they sent her to jail for it. And
the
she
one
was
who
being
was,
beaten
by her husband was threatening her.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, that's, and here's Zimmerman to kill somebody. He's out
exactly.
of jail again, and all she did was she should have shot him. Maybe
she shot him one shot. She didn't even shoot at him. She shot up in the
that's
air.
What I'm saying. She shot at the ceiling.
Yep.
Boy, I had thought about retiring one time in Florida, but oh no. Not because see, I might get down there and something crazy happen. So I don't even go looking for trouble.
That's a shame
how they handle stuff in Sanford, Florida, and different places in Florida. It just seems like it's just so racist. And those, you know what? Maybe the Klan. Are these people Ku Klux Klansmen?
Honey, I know when I talked to somebody who used to do a lot of traveling, and he said he got in trouble in Florida. And he said that they look for trouble, and they said depending upon, well, I think that's anywhere, because I mean if a cop is crooked, a cop is crooked. He said, but you don't just get accused of anything. They don't just arrest you on suspicion or anything like that. You know, they have the evidence because stuff appears. And he was talking, I couldn't help but laugh. And he said, and this is the one time when I was clean.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I told him, I said, you a mess. He said, but he said, you should have saw this stuff. And I'm like, and when they got to pulling this car stuff out of my car and they searching, I'm like, where you find that at? But, yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Florida got to be a scary place for somebody of dark skin.
Lord have mercy, because it was incidents that went on up in here, but you know, it in some places it's more prevalent than other places.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's a shame. And New York is just buck wild. That's the wild, wild west out there.
Wow.
You know, New York. Cop to kill you out there, look at you.
Let me tell you, we went to New York. This is my first visit to New York. We didn't know how to get back to the main highway that was going, you know, head us back toward Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we always talk, you ask somebody in uniform, right? We ask the policeman, do you know that man sent us the wrong way?
Mm-mm-mm.
He sent us the wrong way. My sister sat there and she said, why would I turn all the way around? And I don't remember anything. Like, she said, I'm going to try to go this way. And when she went that way, it was that way was the right way. He sent us the opposite direction. And he was just so rude. She was bothering him, asking him for the – I'm like, wow, really? She said, I just want to get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I just – and that was our second in 2 days. That was our second incident with a policeman that didn't want to, you know, help or assist. And it's like, wow, really? And all we did was ask the question.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was in New Jersey. This was a few years ago, and I needed to make because I missed a turn, right? So it said, the sign clearly said 10 miles before you can make another turn. I said, 10 miles?
Oh, Lord.
But I did. It had a little opening, and I went that way, and I know. I looked up the street, looked down the street, looked all around to make sure that, you know, the police wasn't watching.
Uh-huh.
You know, as soon as I made that turn, here come, wah, wah, wah. That police must have fell out the sky. because I did not see him down the road, up the road, round the road, nowhere. But as soon as I made that turn, then he gave me a $90 ticket. And I tried to explain to him. He knew that I wasn't from New Jersey. He could have gave me a warning, you know, saying, well, you know, this, you're not supposed to go out. I explained to him. I said I couldn't go 10 miles out of my way. I said, because I had somewhere I had to be. You know, I'm explaining to him and being upfront and honest with him. He said, well, this is not blah, 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 blah. I said, well, why is it here? You know, it's like the thing where you can make a turn, but it's illegal to make the turn. There's no sign enough saying that you can't make the turn, but I did see a sign saying the next turn is 10 miles. Child, I was so pissed, but if I ever go back to New Jersey, they will have a warrant for my arrest because I didn't pay the ticket, and I have not, well, I've been up, I haven't driven there, you know, to get pulled over or anything like that, because if they do, I might be doing my show for the New Jersey jail sale.
I understand.
But, you know, they don't give you a break.
I
was driving my daughter's car, her windows are tinted.
Uh-huh.
The police saw me coming up the street. They went to the gas station, followed me down the street, pulled me over in front of my house, right in front of the house.
Oh, wow.
So he went to the police. They two young police. So they come and they say, one got on the passenger side and the other on the driver's side. Let me see your insurance and all this and that. So I gave it to him. So I said, well, what's the problem? Tint on your windows too dark. So I said, well, this isn't my car. So they could see from the registration that it was not my car. This car is in my daughter's name. It's her car, this and that. So they go back in the car, sitting back in the car. So I'm looking at them in the rearview window. They sitting back there laughing and talking and yaddy, yaddy,
oh, wow.
Yaddy, yaddy. So then they comes back to the car, and he says, I told him, I said, I live right there, you know, and I was going to park the car. You know, I just went to the store, whatever. So he comes back, and he gives me a $90 ticket.
Wow.
Why? I said, I got to pay this. He said, well, you can go to court, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to court for it because I really felt like I should not have to pay the ticket. I really should have gotten a warning because, number one, it was not my car.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I don't know the severity. I don't really know what the tint laws are, what's too dark, what isn't dark. But I know that the window shields were dark. I know they were dark, but I don't know the severity of, you know, what's too dark, this, that, blah, 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 all this and that, because I was just driving the car. So he says, well, she has to get this off, blah, blah, blah. So why you don't tell her that? Why are you telling me? So I went to court, and the judge, but you have to plead either guilty or whatever. So I said, pleading guilty with an explanation. So I said, well, Your Honor, I was just going across the street to the store, and they followed me to the house. I was right in front of the house, and they telling me that the windows was too dark. I don't know what was too dark or anything like that. You know what he said? He said, that's not an excuse. He said, you should know. Why should I know? I'm 62 years old. I don't care if windows were black. I don't care.
Wow.
He said, I should know those things. There are a lot of things I don't know. Maybe I should know, but one thing for certain, two things I'm sure. The tint, I don't have no tint on my car windows. And I don't know.
Why would you know that?
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, I should know that. I said, well, Your Honor, I didn't know that. So then he said, well, I said, I don't think I should have to pay the ticket. So he said, well, who you think should pay it? I said, I don't think I should have to pay it. He said, but you was driving the car. I said, but it wasn't my car. But he said, but you was driving it. So I said, well, I don't think it's right. So then what he did do, though, he dismissed the ticket, and I had to pay the court costs, which the court costs was $27 or something like that. That's along with $90. But at that particular time, I didn't have $27 with me to pay them, so I went over and told them that. So they told me to pay it whenever I got it, and that's been a couple of months. When I get it, they'll get it, because I feel just like them. You harass me, you bother me for no reason, because I was right in front of the house, and they just go, see, because they had nothing to do that day. And I think it was like the end of the month, they was trying to get their little quota in or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, they was young police officers, and just, you know, they just, sometimes they just harass people for no reason to get their little brownie points in.
Yep.
You know.
Sometimes they just, to me, they get a kick out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they do. They certainly do. And hopefully I'll never be in a dark place where they pull me over or something, because all they be running through my mind is they could see policemen, they rape women. I was reading somewhere where I think it was New York. This policeman had raped this prostitute, and he was threatening her. But somehow or another, he had raped somebody else, and they didn't fall for the threats. And when they found out that he had raped her, then that's when the other girl came forward. But they think they are so above the law. They can do what they want to do. And then they get in their little huddles and stuff. They don't tell on each other of the cold blue and all of those. So, but I'm just, and I don't really, I feel bad for the good cops when they, you know, are disliked or whatever, but it's that one bad apple spoil a whole bunch, as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, the writing process.
You know, so you got to keep your eyes peeled and your ears open, because you don't know who's a good cop and who's a bad cop.
And see, unfortunately, the other side of that, with that cold blue silence and all that kind of stuff, and that brotherhood and all that kind of stuff, it makes you wonder, does a potentially good cop turn bad? I mean, it's just so many. It's like sometimes if you're the one going against the grain, is there an issue? And some of them don't want to go against the grain because these are the same ones who's backing you up out there in that damn street.
And then,
you know,
and then
all of a sudden you kill.
Huh?
Exactly.
You ever seen the movie Serpico?
Exactly.
Al Pacino played a cop. He was turning dirty cops in, and how they treated him when he needed backup. Nobody went to his aid and stuff like that.
Yep.
That's how they do you. Because if you're a snitch, they're going to treat you like a snitch. Need backup, they ain't coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either you're going to be with them or you're just going to be out there, you're going to get killed or whatever. So you darned if you do and darned if you don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Just,
so it just makes you wonder, and
you don't know. I just, like I said, I know there are some good cops out there.
Oh,
but
I'm sure they are. I would never say that word all, but darn it.
Definitely not all of them, no. They're, you can count.
I would never say all, exactly.
Mm-hmm. They into something. If they not, because this was back in the 70s or the 80s. This when they was put a thing out to get all these new police recruits. They was hiring these young rookies straight out of high school and whatever it was, and checking their background and stuff like that. And it was 12 police officers. They called them 2 dozen. They was doing everything, selling drugs, moving drugs for people from out of town. They were just
trying. We had a group here. They called them the Austin Six. And they would bust people, and the drugs that they busted, when they would get, you know, the word about a dealer or this, that, and the other, they would go bust them. The drugs never made it to the precinct or whatever, and they were selling them. And they busted them. Something happened. And I think, if I remember correctly, somebody that was set up or somebody that was involved was a relative of somebody, I think it was a brother, of somebody, quote-unquote, higher echelon. And so when they got to talking about him and they were supposed to make something disappear and all this kind of stuff so that he wouldn't, you know, fall for this charge, it wasn't there. And so when they got to questioning, well, what do you mean it wasn't there? He took this because, I mean, he took all this, you know, massive amount of dope off of this man or whatever, got from this man or whatever. So it wasn't there. So now people want to know, well, where the hell is it? And so that's what triggered it. And from then on, they started watching certain things. So they started looking at the police officer who were drug, you know, because they have their crews that deal, like, you know, with drugs and this and the other, who were the drug officers but had a very little, if any, turn-in rate. And
right.
they singled out these six, and they started watching them, and they called it the Austin Six. And when they busted them, they paraded them out of that police station handcuffed, just like they did any other criminal. And them people on the west side of Chicago was clapping and everything else because
yep.
they had went through hell dealing with some six men.
Wow. And, you know, that's it, just like I saw on ID Channel, these policemen, they were, like, doing the same thing, going in and busting drug dealers, beating them up, taking their drugs, taking their money. And sometimes they would turn in the money, but they would say, they after they split up what they want, then they would turn, so like if they got $100,000, they split that up and say maybe turn in about $5,000, you know, or something
uh-huh.
like keep some of the drugs and turn in the rest. So what had happened was they was getting away with it for a long time. So they wanted, one of the policemen wanted to do one more hit, one more time, just one more time. But see, the police had got hip to him because what had happened was they went on this boat and the drug dealers had jumped off the boat and I think all of them drowned, I don't know. But then they got hip to him, so an informant came forward and told them what had happened. So they set him up. And they got every last one of them because one person wanted to do one more time. Got greedy. Got
yeah.
greedy. And greed will get you every time. So,
sure enough.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's sad what happened to Shavis, that guy who was allegedly shot himself in the head. I mean, why would they? I wouldn't even have said nothing like that. You know what I would probably would have said? It sound better if they said somebody drove by, was a drive-by.
Mm-hmm.
To say this guy shot himself in the head. Lord have mercy. You know, his mother know her. She knows her child. He was left-handed but shot in the right temple. And how you going to... You know what I would ask them, please? I would put some cuffs on them. And say, now, y'all show me how this guy did that. Because it's impossible.
Yep.
And then where did he have the gun at? It must have been a little gun, a little teeny-weeny, itsy-bitsy, teeny-tiny gun. If he, you know, like they said, they searched him three times and couldn't find. Give me a break. Anything... They are going to search you, and they're going to get everything off of you before they even put you in that car. Believe that.
Yep.
So like I said, if he had that gun under his balls, they would have
mm-hmm.
found him.
But he would
have
had to be a contortionist.
They love putting their hands down there
mm-hmm.
on black
men. Oh, definitely. He would have had to be a contortionist just
right.
to even get it up to he. I mean, his arms would, do you know the length of his arms would have had to be to even be able to get that around the side of his head? Because he got to wrap that all the way around. So he would have had to bend this. It's just not feasible. And the fact that you actually put that out there, it kind of shows what you think of people. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You all look stupid for even reporting that.
That's what I'm talking about. This is so stupid. Why would they eat? Like I said, it would sound better if they had said that, well, when we were standing outside the car, a guy came up and shot him. Something that sounds would have been
exactly
opposed to saying somebody handcuffed behind, even if he was handcuffed in the front. But they generally handcuff you in the back. They put your hands
exactly.
behind your back because when they was handcuffing people in the front, that's how a lot of policemen was getting yoked and all this old kind of stuff. So they started handcuffing people in the back and grabbing police guns and all this old kind of stuff. So if you can't grab a gun from your hands behind your back, how in the world? And, you know, it just, the more I think about this story, the angrier I get.
Yeah.
It makes me angry.
Yep.
You know, to think that somebody is so stupid, they're going to believe that. That's just terrible. So I'm going to take a little break and come back, and we're going to close the show down. I got a few announcements I want to make, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Welcome back. That's Atlantic Star for Always. First of all, I want to make an apology again to my listening audience for the beginning of the show. I had my mute button on that was blocking my co-host Rhea out as well as myself, and I do apologize for that, but it won't happen again, hopefully. I'm just saying, I'm only human, but I do want to apologize for that. Also, on August the 22nd, there's going to be an extension to my show, Bringing Sexy Back. That's going to air every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be talking about everything from A to Z involving of a sexual nature. We're going to be talking about relationships, just different things as far as involving a sexual nature to it. So you can use your imagination. It's going to be adult content. So as my other show is geared for an adult audience, so I'm just putting that out there. Anyone under the age of 18 listening, please tune into another show. And that airs August the 22nd at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, bringing sexy back. For those of you who don't know, I am an author. I have 4 published books. I'm also a publisher as well. You can go to my website, which is www.jjpublishing. That's JJ Publishing, J-A-Y-J-A-Y Publishing.com. I also have a fan page on Facebook. You can reach me on Facebook at www.facebook.com, Gail Delicious Johnson. I have some things coming up that I'm working on, and I will keep you guys in tune with that. Rhea, do you have any parting words you'd like to express, anything you want to talk about?
Not particularly, no. I'm not as busy as you are, no. No,
yeah,
because you all over the place. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I'm doing quite a few, a lot of things I'm trying to do. I'm also ghostwriting a book as well for a client of mine, and that should be available hopefully before the end of the summer, if not early fall. And, you know, like I said, check out my website. That's J-A-Y, publishing.com. Go on it, look around, leave comments or whatever. I really do appreciate that. If you have a manuscript you want to submit, you can submit that. You know, because I am looking for authors who want to have their books published at a reasonable cost, something that's not going to break the bank or your pocketbook. Now, these are my introductory prices. Of course, my prices will be going up next year because everything else is going up, the cost of living, this and that. So I would have to, you know, raise my prices as well because the cost of living goes up for everybody, including me. So if you want to get on this bandwagon now while the prices are, and they're not, it's not going to be like it's going to be unaffordable, but, you know, when things go up, that's just it. Gas goes up, rent goes up, food's going up, everything's going up. So, you know, that's that. But it's not going to be unaffordable. Our next week's show, I'll get with you, Rhea, on that because I haven't really made a decision as to what we're going to talk about next week or what the show is going to be about next week. But whatever it's about, I will be posting it before it's, you know, so you guys can check it out. And I want to thank everybody who came out, who's listening on your iPhone, iPad, internet, computer, or however you tuned in to Delicious Talk. I really do appreciate you guys for doing that. And stay tuned. Don't forget, August the 22nd, 10:30 p.m., bringing sexy back. If you have anything you'd like to add to it, send me an email. My email address is gjdelicious37@gmail.com, or you can send me inbox me on Blog Talk Radio, or you can leave something on my Facebook page as well. With that being said, Rhea, I appreciate you, darling, and
thank you for
coming back after I didn't have you tuned in. I am so sorry. I can't let you guys know how sorry I am about that because I know I was just talking, and there's some things I think, I hope I said everything that I said before the, you know, after the button was unmuted. And if I didn't, sorry. So with that being said, everybody have a good night, a good weekend. See you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. Good night, Rhea.
Good night, and you have a great weekend yourself.
You too, hon.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Everybody.